Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
It's great to like sit here and ponder what it would look like to get to $100 million. But what would it look like if you just got to $1 million a year in revenue? I don't think it's that difficult. It takes work. Of course it takes work. Of course it takes discipline. Of course it's going to take more action than you've been taking in your life currently.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And today we're going to walk you through how to hit $100 million dropshipping, or how we think you should hit $100 million dropshipping. I've hit a $10 million store before, John. I've been part of helping some other people in the eight-figure range. I believe you've been helping people in the eight-figure range as well. Mm-hmm. But I haven't been to nine figures. I look forward to when I get to nine figures. I think that'll be fun. And I think you and I, right before the call, I was like, hey, John, do you want to actually plan this podcast out or you just want to riff on this? Because we don't know. But we got this question from Kareem. Thank you, Kareem, for the question. How to hit $100 million with dropshipping, specifically high-ticket dropshipping if you're watching this channel. And I think we could probably lay out a path. Like I can show you, I can turn around and look at how we got to eight figures. And I could project out how I think we would have gotten to nine figures had I still been part of that business. And I think you and I have a plan as well on how to get to nine figures. And so I'm curious where to start with this, right? Like, I think you go back to the beginning and say, well, you got to start a business in order to hit $100 million dropshipping.
Well, you do. Yeah, totally. I mean, you've got to be there. In the first place, otherwise it's just not an option. So, I mean, yeah, in the first instance, you've got to get started. You know, I think with the right plan and the right strategy and the right, you know, focus and commitment, anybody can make it to that eight-figure mark. Right.
I
mean, particularly in the US, I think almost any market is big enough to support that, right? Or any niche that you could come up with could support stores in that, and probably already does have stores in that range, right? Who are selling products in those niches. And so I think the nice thing about that number is that, you know, if you get to that sort of number, then you probably do have the pieces, or you can start to see the pieces that you could put together to go to the next level, right? Which is like to go up to that sort of nine-figure range, for sure. So I think, you know, doing like in terms of markets, like, you know, you've got to get started. You've got to make your first sale. You've got to make your first million. You know, from there, if you can do $1 to $3 million a year in revenue, then you can definitely get to eight figures a year in revenue, right? I mean, there's people talk a lot about those numbers where there's like a step up in the game. I think 3 million is a number that's often mentioned. And then the next big jump is like the 10 million. That's where things change a bit. And so I think, you know, I mean, you know, following the plan, the strategies, et cetera, that we've got in Dropship Breakthrough, for example, I mean, that's that. If you do all of that and you implement all of that and you give it the time it needs, then you're going to get to 10 to eight figures, right? How do you go past there upwards? Look, I'm not entirely sure that you can do it with just dropshipping, right? I struggle to see that, like with just dropshipped products. But can you take a dropshipping business and add other things alongside that to get you to nine figures? Sure. I'm interested in your thoughts. Do you think you could get to nine figures just with dropshipping, just with dropshipped products in this day and age?
A couple caveats.
I mean, you obviously can because people have done it before.
Yeah.
Right? So Wayfair at one point was pretty much just dropshipped products, right? Those dudes went well past nine figures these days, right? But now they're not primarily dropship products anymore. You know, they have a range of their own brands, which they sell on Wayfair, as well as dropship products. So I'm curious on your thoughts about whether, you know, I mean, they did that some time ago now, right? And other people have done that some time ago now, but like 2024 and onwards, is that still something that's possible?
Yeah, look, I think you have to almost step back first, right? So I'll share my own story. you say do everything in our course and eight figures is for sure visible, right? And you should be able to get there. And so when I talk about when I've gotten eight figures in the past, we hadn't even done all of the things in our course, which is wild. So I genuinely wonder where we could have gotten to with all of the things. But even as I was leaving the company, we were starting to do, as you said, the next step, which is, you know, bringing on your own products. We've had Brian Angel on this podcast before, who has taken a completely different angle of literally buying one of the brands he sells and becoming the manufacturer of that, right? So that's another way of not necessarily like private labeling or white labeling or bringing on your own brand. He went and acquired a brand. We went and acquired a brand, I should say. From there, we went and acquired another brand of treadmill desk. And now Brian primarily focuses on inmovement.com, which is the brand and the treadmill desk. And so I think to your point, there's a lot of paths here. Strictly dropshipping, I would say if you're only going to use dropshipping as your method of fulfillment, it is going to be, I wouldn't say impossible, but harder. I do think you have to follow what we teach compared to what other gurus online teach, which is you're going to need an expansive market. You can't sell a one product store, which I think a lot of people like to do or have been told to do, or like super niche one product stores that maybe some other gurus talk about and get there. It's just not going to happen. Like, you're going to need to serve a market, serve a human who buys multiple things. I also think recurring revenue is probably something that is being overlooked here, as are there things, not necessarily I sold them one product, they're also interested in this product, but like a 3D printer has, PLA filament, I believe is what they call it. It's been a long time since I sold 3D printers, but like, you know, the actual plastic or the metals or the things that it's printing, are there reusable, recurring purchases needed in your market that can help you get to that number, I think would probably be part of the puzzle. But to your point, John, I think it is, you know, can you strictly use dropshipping as your method of fulfillment to get to eight figures, maybe even, you know, 20 million, 30 million. Yep, probably. I believe so. And then bringing in your own products, acquiring a brand is probably the next step. Acquiring media to drive more traffic to yourself is probably the next step, right? Probably getting to a warehouse at some point is probably the next step. There's a lot of pieces where you would need to move to. And so I don't want to say a dropship business can't get there, because I think that's the wrong way to say it in the first place. Dropshipping is simply the method of fulfillment you're choosing. I think you're going to need to incorporate other profit centers into your business other than just selling the core product if you want to get to that $100 million range.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I agree. And I wouldn't say that a dropship business can't get there. It's just that that dropship business is going to need to evolve in various ways, I think, to support that. You could still be dropshipping products at when you get to that number, that $100 million number for sure, but you're going to be doing some other stuff as well. Right. And I think, you know, if you're somebody that wants to go to that sort of number, I actually think, and like you say, I mean, I think, you know, that's somewhere we're going to get to at some point, for sure. That's somewhere I'd love to go to, with a business or two, definitely. And I think we've got some things going on where that might be a possibility for sure, you know, in the future. But I think if you want to get to that sort of number in e-commerce, I mean, you obviously want the businesses you always hear about getting to those numbers tend to be like D2C brands and that sort of thing. And that's definitely an avenue that you could follow. But I think to me, like the thought of doing it starting off with a high ticket dropshipping business is actually in some ways more enticing, right? Because if you can get a high ticket dropshipping business to $10 million in revenue, let's say, and obviously there might be a bit of variation in what your average order value is and that sort of thing within that. But you're going to have like lots of customers, like thousands and thousands of customers a year, right? And so you've kind of like, if you can get to that point and then start exploring some of those other avenues that you might do, whether that's, like you say, bringing on some consumable products in your market or bringing in your own private labeled products, moving to a warehouse, you know, getting in with some suppliers, you know, getting the rights to do other types of products from your suppliers or something like that. Like, you already have a big customer base at that point. And like going out to your customer base and testing ideas, particularly if one of your avenues is going to be bringing products to the market, you're in such a stronger position to be able to do that than if you're just like a guy who's like, oh, I've got an idea for a product and I've never sold anything before. And you know, I want to bring it to the market, where you have like zero. Like, you can go out and do some research, sure. You can look at, you know, other similar products on Amazon and do all that sort of stuff that some people teach that you should do to bring a product to the market. But when you have like a customer list of prior customers that's like, you know, 5,000, 8,000, 10,000, you can literally go to them and talk to them and be like, hey, you know, we're thinking, you know, we're thinking of doing this product. What do you think? Would you be into that? Blah, blah, blah. You can do like, you have your essentially your own little mini market that you kind of can just tap into to get that ball rolling. And I think that's actually a really strong position to be in, to take those next steps, to already have a community, an audience of people who are in the niche that you serve, like kind of that you can just call on to help you make that.
Let alone they're going to help you make a better product, right? So you often say, who knows better why your customers aren't buying from you than your customers, right? Or, you know, all abandoned carts, you should call them and say, why wouldn't you buy from me today? You're going to learn a lot from them, way better than someone telling you to change your add to cart button to red or whatever the newest CRO hack is, right? The same thing happens in products. So when we were doing this, we would constantly get complaints about one piece of a product, or, man, I wish this was better. Or, you know, again, we were selling golf simulators, right? So the turf, terrible to stand on all day, bad for your elbows as you're slamming your club into it over and over again, right? So we just got constant feedback of like, I wish this was better. I wish the screen lasted longer. I wish this feature existed, things like that. Or I wish all of this stuff came together. I didn't need to piece it together. And so just learning from your customers over the years of selling this stuff, well, hopefully you're also ranking pages to the top of Google, so you're number one for that product type, you know, putting out content so that people are finding you when they're looking for that product type. And then eventually you can just say, hey, we've heard you. Here's the best fucking product on the market that we just brought to the market, right? And immediately you're going to take over that market because you listen, because you bought a better product, because you're already ranking, because you have an audience. I do think it is an interesting path to starting your own brand that there's not a lot of people doing it. And so like the ones that have, I've seen, have had really good success. And I wonder if we can find more people or someone listening to this right now who can say, yeah, that's me actually, and want to come talk about it because it's such an interesting path.
Mm.
I was looking at Wayfair too, John. I don't know when they went public or when they started selling their own brand, but in 2012 they did 600 million. So that, I mean, that's, you know, six times more than we're talking here. And then last year, can you guess the revenue they did last year?
I've looked at it. I can't remember though.
12 billion.
Billions. Yeah.
12 fucking billion dollars. Dude, that's so wild, man. To think about, you know, they've been around. I wish I knew when they actually started, when they brought all of, you know, they had like a bar stool store. Like their story is very interesting of like the you know, 100 different dropshipping businesses that they had that they all combined into one. I don't know what year that started.
I think they had 52.
52? Like okay.
52 little niche stores. And they kind of, yeah, the starting point was amalgamating those together. And look, I mean, Wayfair is a good example to the point of what's possible. I wouldn't listen to that, us say that and assume that that's what you could do today though. Like,
yeah.
You're not starting a furniture drop shipping business in 2024 and taking it to 12 billion in revenue. Like it's kind of like that. Is there going to be another Amazon? No, there's not going to be another Amazon. Like never. There's not going to be another Google ever. Simply because
you can't hear this.
Yeah. Go.
All right. So Wayfair was founded in 2002, and until 2011, they operated as hundreds of niche websites such as bedroomfurniture.com, allbarstools.com, things like that. So 2011 is when they actually brought them all together. 2012 is when they went public, I believe, based on this document that I'm looking at, where they did $600 million. So, you know, it was a patchwork of different sites that they brought together, but they are the story, I think, in my opinion, of like how you could get there. But, you know, this is years. This is compounding, right? I think there's no shortage of people who would like to hit $100 million in the next 2 or 3 years. And you know, it's just not realistic in most businesses, let alone in a business like this where, you know, you're starting out by yourself, unfunded, you know, putting in the hard hours, right?
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, when they started, some of this stuff was like shooting fish in a barrel. Like, I mean, those numbers are based on being the first people there. Like back then, Google Ads were free. Like they were literally free when those dudes started. You know, like being there when people first started buying online, you know, well done, hats off and all of that sort of thing. But that ain't happening again. Do you know what I mean? In the same way. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I guess theoretically, like people ask a lot, like, could you, what about having like a network of high ticket dropshipping stores, like having a portfolio that combined you could get to nine figures with that? Now, look, I guess that's probably, you know, if we're saying you could take one, like a high ticket dropship store to 8 figures in revenue, or could you have 10 of those that combined get to 100 million in revenue? And once again, I guess the answer is yes, you could. That would be, I think you would struggle to do it by yourself. Like, you would probably need business partners. You would sure as shit need a really good team to help you manage that, because that would be a beastly amount of work, because you've got to do like doing that 10 times, doing that all, because there's no, like, there, aside from the staffing side of things and the employee side of things, there's not really any economies of scale there. You've got to do everything individually for every store, right? And so the team can help you do it, I guess. If you nail that part of it, because, you know, but so I guess theoretically that's possible. I don't like the thought of doing that by myself. Like, you just, you couldn't do it by yourself.
Yeah. I don't think you could do the multiple stores angle either. Like, to your point, you would need you would need someone to lead, right? So we've been partnering, we've been picking students out who we believe in our student base, who are taking action and doing the work and partnering with those people. I think we as a group will hit that 9-figure number together. But each one of those businesses has someone who's, you know, running the show. They're headstrong. They're showing up every day. They're running the team. I don't think you're going to be able to do that if you were going to start 6 stores, 7 stores, right? Like, it would be very difficult for you to grow them to a point on your own energy, even your team's energy, to get someone in place to really run the show in each one of those things. So I think it'd be difficult. But look, I don't want to get people discouraged, because I think, and I was just counting over here. Let me count 1, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11. We're about to have our live event. I don't know what when this show comes out, but we're going to have our live event in July. And we give out trophies to people who have hit the 6K, the $1 million mark, the $10 million mark. And if I did my math right here, which I'm pretty poor at math publicly here, public math, I don't do public math. I think we're handing out 14 trophies, 13 or $14 million trophies, right? And so, like, it's great to, like, sit here and ponder what it would look like to get to $100 million. But what would it look like if you just got to $1 million a year in revenue? Like, I don't think it's that difficult. It takes work. Of course it takes work. Of course it takes discipline. Of course it's going to take more action than you've been taking in your life currently. But I don't think it's as much action as you think it is. And often it's just like limiting beliefs you need to fight through to just do the work in the first place. And $1 million, typically, in most businesses, you're going to take 15% out at the end of the day. Do the math on that. Like, you know, you're well into 6 figures in profit there. If you, some industries are better than others, you could certainly get up closer to that 20-25% mark. And then do the math on getting to 8 figures, which, you know, John and I have both been there. I know other people who have been there. Again, do the math. That's $1.5 million, $2 million a year in profit that is coming out of the business while you're also, like, you know, doing really good things, building an amazing asset. And, you know, as we'll talk about on a later episode, just destroying your rewards cards. And flying everywhere for free in first class, things like that, right? Yeah. And so, like, really think through the fact that, like, $100 million is fun to dream about, but if you were printing, and let's just even lower that. Let's just say it's $1 million a year in profit on your $10 million business. Are you unhappy in some way? Like, you have plenty to live on, plenty to put away into whatever you want to grow passively on your own, plenty of investments to make, plenty of travel you'll be doing because you can. You also have a team that you'll grow to hate and love at the same time, like, that you're, you know, you feel responsible for, that'll give you some purpose in life. And, honestly, I think that's the dream. And I don't think you need to get to $1 million in profit to do that. You know, 400,000 somewhere around there gets you in the 1% in America. That gets you in the 1% in the greatest fucking country that's ever existed on the planet, right? Like, you're going to live a pretty good life at that point. And so, you know, 400K is whatever, 10% of 4 million. Can you get to $4 million in revenue and spit out 400 to 600K in profit? You know, pay your little tax man, of course. And, but, like, you're living a good life. And so, like, I don't want to discourage anyone who thinks we're describing a, you know, a picture to getting to 100 million as difficult or over 20 years like Wayfair. But I don't think you need to get there either. I think people should really sit down and say, where do I want to be? And then realize that the steps to get there are not that difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a big scary thing, and it probably, listening to us talk about it, sounds like a big scary thing as well. And I would 100% say that. Like, yeah, I'm sure there's some individuals out there who are particularly driven by a number like that. I think for a lot of those, they probably haven't really thought about why that is, other than it just they're obsessed with like things they see on social media and the Mark Zuckerbergs and that sort of thing. But like, you're not going to, I don't think you're going to notice the difference between, you know, what you're going to get out of making, you know, $10, $20 million a year and $100 million a year. Like I say, like if you get to $10 million a year, the type of profit that you're taking out of that puts you like, yeah, like well in front of almost anybody that you're ever going to meet in your lifetime. And that in and of itself is amazing.
Let alone you built an asset. So even at some point, if you're burnt out or you want to move on,
you can sell that sellable asset, as well. Right? Yeah, absolutely. And there's millions right there for sure.
Yeah, look, I love doing episodes like this, but I really just want to grab everyone who's listening to this who hasn't started and just shake them and be like, get like a little bit extra effort, more than you're doing now, can get you to a place that you can't fathom right now. And when that money starts rolling in while you're laying in bed, you know, watching, you know, House of Dragon or whatever it is you're watching that night and your phone cha-chings, like it's going to change your life. It's going to make you think differently of what's possible. And slowly but surely, you'll unlock what's possible and you'll continue to grow. And yeah, when I did, I think it's in the 4-hour work week, John, where the, like you lay out your ideal life and then you really like lay out what that would actually cost. I did that, and this was 2015, 2016, it was only like $4 million. And I was like, that feels achievable.
Yeah. Dreamlining. That's okay. what he calls it. Yeah. I think
it's been a long time since I've done it.
It's been a long time since I read that book. But yeah, no, that's right. I mean, I think a lot of people think that they'd love to have a lot of money, but then when you actually like bring it back to, well, what would you do with that? They're like, well, I don't know. I buy it. Get an expensive car, maybe buy a bigger house. Yeah, okay, but you don't need $100 million to do those things. Like, right? You got $100 million business and you're getting paid out of that. Like, you got more money than you know how to spend, than you need to spend. And once again, like I say, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that goal, but like, you know, don't hold yourself to that bar either, because you probably don't really need it in reality. And it is an interesting exercise to go through and say, like, how much. What do I actually feel like I need out of life? What do I actually want? Where do I think you know, my happiness would lie? And the number that you need to achieve to hit that is like seriously achievable for most people. When you actually go down and break down numbers on that stuff, and those sort of numbers are, yeah, wildly achievable for anybody. If, as Ben says, like you've got to start. You know, you've got to start. That's the biggest challenge for people. Starting, focusing for 2 years, right, to get yourself there. Sometimes that's all it takes.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode 1. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.